Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yevamos Ayin Ches. We're on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. We are towards the top of the Amud, and we are finishing up a discussion of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan posited that if you had a gerim who had a child, that child can marry a kohen. Now, this is an issue that is not left to the Amoraim to decide, meaning this is already in Machlokas HaTanaim, as we noted yesterday, Machlokas between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda. There's a third sheet as well, but anyway, this debate in terms of whether or not the daughter of a ger is allowed to marry a kohen, so this is already a well-litigated point. Rav Yochanan, however, is discussing a really nuanced point within this machlokas. Again, let's just go over the basic sheetas. Can the daughter of a ger-geres, meaning let's assume both parents are converts, can the daughter of a ger-geres marry a kohen? Machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi. Rav Yehuda says no, and Rav Yossi says yes. As far as the geres herself is concerned, so this is something that we've already well established. The Geras herself cannot marry a Kohen. And again, as we pointed out yesterday, the easiest way to explain it is the Geras has a status of a Zona. We're not saying she is a Zona, but she has a status of a Zona. Okay. Also, earlier in the Masechta, we discussed the opinion of the Rashbi, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who said that if a woman was Megari before 3 years of age, she can marry a Kohen, but that's not the accepted viewpoint. Anyway, so a Geras herself cannot marry a Kohen. That has already been well established. What about the daughter of a Geras? So this is a machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi. Rav Yehuda is of the position that the daughter of a Geras has a Geras status and therefore cannot marry a Kohen. On the other hand, Rav Yossi says no. The daughter of a Geras is allowed to marry a Kohen. Okay, so this is, again, the backdrop to the discussion of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that if I have a Bas Geramoni, so Ksher LeKahuna, so the daughter of a Geramoni is allowed to marry a Kohen. Okay, now, the statement of Rav Yochanan is predicated on yesterday's discussion. If you remember in yesterday's daf, going back to the Mishnah on Ayin Vav Amud Beis, we discussed at length that in terms of anyone who converts from either the nation of Moab or from the nation of Ammon, so Geras is fine. Okay, I made this point really clear yesterday, but again, just to make sure that we have full clarity on this, Geras itself is fine, meaning both of them can be Megayer and will become full-fledged gerim with all the rights, privileges, obligations, responsibilities of being a ger. But as far as ishus is concerned, as far as marriage is concerned, so the Torah prohibits marriage between the ger of an Ammon and a ger of a Moav, but only the male, not the female. Okay, Ammoni velo Ammonis, Moav velo Moavis. So this is what we established in yesterday's daf. Now, Rav Yochanan says that if I have the daughter of ger Ammoni, so the daughter of ger Ammoni is allowed to marry a Kohen. Now, the daughter of a ger Ammoni is allowed to marry anybody, because again, even if the ger was an Ammonis herself, you're allowed to marry her, but the daughter of a ger Ammoni, so what Rav Yochanan is positing is that one is in fact allowed to marry her. To which the Gemara noted yesterday's daf, that according to Rav Yochanan, that seems to be pretty obvious, meaning what could possibly be the problem? And so what the Gemara noted yesterday is that we're discussing the following scenario, which is that dad was a ger Ammoni and mom was a Bas Yisrael. Ah, and now we have a chiddush, because what we're describing over here is that the parents had a relationship, a prohibited union, in that you're not allowed to marry ger Ammoni, meaning the male gerim from Ammon, you're not allowed to marry. Ah, so despite the fact, this is a chiddush of Rav Yochanan, despite the fact that the parents are engaged in a prohibited union, nevertheless, the daughter does not have any kind of Pagam whatsoever, and a Kohen is allowed to marry this woman. Okay? That's what we said yesterday as far as the sheet of Rav Yochanan is concerned. Admittedly, I simplified it a little bit, but that's basically the point of Rav Yochanan. We are in Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. Ikadarmi, the Gemara is going to give us a slightly different version of this discussion, but when all said and done, it's going to come out to be the same point. Ikadarmi, a slightly
different... Where are we starting from?
Sorry. We're in Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, and we're starting about 8 lines from the top of the other. The Gemara continues this discussion. Ikadarmi in a slightly different version, but it's going to come out to be the same point. Ikadarmi, Amarlei, he said to him, meaning this is Rav Yochanan talking to Rabbi Zakkai. Amarlei, he said to him, Anishone Amav me'amav. So I'm learning Amav me'amav. So this is the drasha that we quoted yesterday, the pasuk regarding the Kohen Gadol. Ki im besula me'amav yikach. It says that a Kohen Gadol must marry a besula me'amav from the nation. The word may means that even if it's not full nationality, what does that mean? So lahavi besul abba mishnei amamim. We're talking about a besul who comes from two different nations. Am sheyesh bo shnei amamim, from a nation that can be broken down into two nationalities. What nation can be broken down to two nationalities? So this, of course, is Moab and Ammon. How can one nation be broken down to two nationalities? Because post-conversion, the males you are not allowed to marry, and the females you are allowed to marry. So basically what comes out now is that when you have this one nationality that really comes down to two nationalities, so that's the Amim Shiesh Bo Shnei Amimim. V'atamar Giort Mikana V'Sulo. And Rav Yochanan was bothered by the Braisa, because the Braisa made it sound like that. If I have the daughter of a Gioris, so you're allowed to marry a Kohen, Kohen Gadol, it makes no difference. Rav Yochanan says, I want to go even a step further. And that is Amav Me Amav, meaning even if the daughter is a product of multiple nationalities, as I just got done explaining, so even that woman is allowed to marry Cohen. So the Gemara says, fine. In this second version that we just went over, that a Bas Mitzri Sheni is allowed to marry a Kohen Menale. How do I know that? Meaning, we now have, we're looking at a very similar scenario over here, where you have the daughter of Bas Mitzri Sheni. Dad was a second generation Egyptian convert. We learned yesterday's daf. We're going to be discussing it later this morning. And that is that when it comes to Gerim from Mitzrim, from any Egyptian convert, again, as I mentioned yesterday, quickly, just to make a disclaimer again today, when we're talking about Mitzrim, we're talking about Mitzrim as they once were, meaning the ones that enslaved the Jewish people and those Mitzrim. And the progeny of those Mitzrim. But in other words, but nowadays, everyone got mixed together, and really there are no Mitzrim from a halachic standpoint. But anyway, from the Torah's perspective, someone who's a Mitzri, so they can convert, no problem whatsoever. First generation, they cannot marry into Kahal. Second generation, they can't marry into Kahal. Third generation, they are allowed to marry into Kahal. Later this morning, we're going to be discussing in the Gemara exactly how to count generation two, generation three. We'll talk about that later this morning. Anyway, so I have a Bas Mitzri Sheni. So the daughter of a Mitzri Sheni. So lot to marry Kohen Menale. How do I know that? V'chitem ad'yalef me'amoni shenasa Bas Yisrael. So the Gemara says, okay, so look, we already have our precedented case, meaning an Amoni marrying a Bas Yisrael, which again, the union itself is prohibited. The product of that union is allowed to marry a Kohen, as we established. So the Gemara says, so once we have that as our precedent, so then that seemingly is the same thing as a Bas Mitzri Sheni, who is married to Yisrael. So the Gemara says, not the same. Malamoni shenasa Bas Yisrael, shekene kevos mutaris. So the Gemara says, no, because when it comes to the product of that union, so at least there is some heter. That particular union happens not to be mutter, but in other words, if you take the female version of that, meaning an ammonis, so that's muteris. So Mitzri Sheni shenasa Mitzri Shnia yochich. So I'm sorry. So and meanwhile, that doesn't translate over to the Mitzri Sheni, because by a Mitzri Sheni, as we learned in yesterday's daf, as we already established in the Mishnah, there is no difference between men and women. They're both going to be prohibited to marry into the Jewish people. So the Gemara says Mitzri Sheni shenasa Mitzri Shnia yochich. So the Gemara says, okay, but on the counter side of that, so let's say you have Mitzri Sheni with a Mitzri Sheni, so which is a perfectly legitimate union, and the product of that union is totally mutter to marry within the kal. So the Gemara says, "Malam Mitzri Sheni Shenasa Mitzri Shnia Shekein Ein Biasa Be'Avera." So the Gemara says again, that's a good case, but that's not going to help us in our search. We're looking for the case of the Bas Mitzri Sheni who's married to Yisrael. You see, in the case where it's a Bas Mitzri married to a Bas Mitzri, or a Bas Mitzri married to a Ben Mitzri, so that's a permitted marriage, and we're looking at a marriage that's prohibited. Amoni shenas Bas Yisrael yochich v'chazar adin v'chulei. So the Gemara says, okay, but what we could do is we could keep ping-ponging between these two cases, meaning the case of an Amoni married to a Bas Yisrael, and the case of a Mitzri married to a Mitzri, and even though, yes, it's true, they are not both comparable to our case, but if we look at the common denominator between the two, so one can arrive at the conclusion that when you have a Bas Mitzri Sheni, who's married to a, sorry, when I have a Ben Mitzri Sheni married to a Bas Yisrael, so the product of that union, in fact, is allowed to marry a Kohen. Okay. Amar Rav Yosef, Haina Deshamin Leila Rav Yehuda, Da'amar Amav Me'amav, Velo Yadid Amai Kamar. So Rav Yosef, one almost final comment, penultimate comment on this, and that is that Rav Yosef kept hearing Amav Me'amav, meaning some drasha that was formulated over here, and Lo Yadana Mai Kamar, and he didn't know what was going on, meaning he didn't understand the drasha. This idea that we're talking about a nation that has multiple nations within it. And finally, after Rav Yosef went over this, what we just learned together, he had better clarity on what exactly the drasha in fact meant. Okay, we are on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. Ki Asa Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Hachi Tani Kamei. Okay, so this is going to be the third and final version of Rav Yochanan. Again, Rav Yochanan is litigating the question of what happens when I have one of these Ammoni Moavi who converted and illicitly married a Bas Yisrael, and they had a child. They had a daughter. Is that daughter allowed to marry a Kohen? Again, Rav Yochanan's conclusion is yes. And the Gemara has given us so far two versions of this discussion. And here we go in the Gemara with now a third version of this discussion. This was the brisa that was taught in front of Rav Yochanan. So a Tana, meaning an Amora who was going over brisas, taught the brisa in front of Rav Yochanan. And as we're going to see, when Rav Yochanan hears the brisa, Rav Yochanan is very upset with the way the brisa is formatted. Isha amonis kshera. So an isha amonis is kshera. So, right, that's one. Two. Bina me amoni pasol. If they have a son from an amoni, meaning dad was an amoni convert, pasol. Bita me amoni kshera. The daughter of an amoni is going to be kshera. Bamed v'amor and v'amoni v'amonis. That's only if who got married, mom and dad are both amonis converts. Shinizgaru. Ava bita me amoni psula. But the daughter of an amoni is going to be pasol. Okay, now. A lot of statements that were made in the Braisa, and Rav Yochanan is going to try to process this information, and as we're going to see together, Rav Yochanan is going to be rejecting any possible interpretation of this Braisa. Amalei pok tani labra. So immediately, right away, we get from Rav Yochanan his response to the Braisa, which is, take it outside. Meaning, this Braisa is so corrupted and so invalid that basically it doesn't belong here in the Beis Medrash, and just simply exit the Braisa, right? Eject the Braisa. So, my damar disha amonis kshera amoni v'lo amonis. So let's go over the first part of the Braisa where it says that a woman who converted from amon, meaning an amonis, shashish kshera. So to which Rav Yochanan says, good, that's correct, but we knew that already. Amoni v'lo amonis. So, benami amoni pasol da amoni who? Now, as far as the son being being prohibited to marry, that's, again, we know that already because the son has an amoni status and it's an amoni is prohibited. An amoni convert is prohibited, even the child, meaning the son of an amoni is going to have the status of an amoni. Ubita me amoni kshera. Now, the daughter is going to be kshera, lamai. So the Gemara says, okay, now we're talking about the daughter of an amonis, and we said that she's kshera. Ilei malabas, I'm sorry, ilei malavo bekahal. So are we saying that they're allowed to marry within the kahal? So hashda ima kshera himi baye. Well, that is a totally unnecessary point. If mom is allowed to marry within kahal, because amoni velo amonis, so their daughter of that union for sure is allowed to marry into the kahal, and why in the world would I need the braisa to teach them that point? So ela lekuhuna. So the Gemara says, okay, we must be litigating over here whether or not she can marry a kohen. So bamed v'amor b'amoni v'amonis shiniskayru avabita me'amoni psula. But then the braisa goes on to clarify that that's only when mom and dad are both amoni geirim. However, if it's bita me amoni, she would be psula. My bita me amoni. So on this, Rav Yochanan now is trying to process and trying to understand what does that mean. Ilem amoni shenasa amoni es hainu giyaros mikana. So if we're talking about an amoni and amoni getting married together, producing a daughter, and we're litigating whether or not she can marry a kohen, so that's giyaros mikana, the expression that we used yesterday's daf, and that is, it goes without saying, that's a Giyores from literally her nest, meaning we knew that already. So Ela Amoni Shenasa Bas Yisrael. So the Gemara says we're talking about Amoni Shenasa Bas Yisrael, and the Braisa is saying that Amoni Shenasa Bas Yisrael, the daughter cannot marry a Kohen, which as we already know, we saw two times over, Rav Yochanan does not believe that conclusion is the correct conclusion. So Amalei Poktini Levra, that's why Rav Yochanan said, good. So the Braisa, whatever it's trying to teach us, is just simply not correct. It's an inaccurate Braisa, and Rav Yochanan wanted, in fact, instructed that the Braisa be taken outside the Beis Medrash. Adkan, that takes us to the end of that discussion. Good. On Ayin Zainam and Beis, we are now at the two dots, two-thirds of the way down, and the Gemara now turns its attention to our Mishnah. Now, if you remember, our Mishnah that we learned yesterday said that anyone who converts from Amon Moav, so the male converts are also Lavo Bekal, the female converts are Muteris Lavo Bekal. Now, when it comes to a Mitzri, so the Mitzrim have a different set of halachas regarding Ishus, regarding marriage, who they are allowed to marry, who they're not allowed to marry, and that's based on the Pasuk which we're going to see in just a moment. So in the Mishnah, so we learn together that when you have the first generation of Mitzri Gerim, and the second generation of Mitzrim Gerim, so they're going to be prohibited, Lavo Bekal. Who are they going to marry? So other Mitzri Gerim, as we already established yesterday. The third generation of Mitzri Gerim are, in fact, Muteris Lava Bakal. At that point in time, both men and women are allowed to marry within Kahal. That is what we learned yesterday in the Mishnah. Additional to that, what we learned in the Mishnah is that Rabbi Shimon says no. That when it comes to Mitzrim, so only the Isser is only on the male Gerim, but not on the female Gerim, meaning even first generation female Gioris of Mitzri, so is Muteris Lava Bakal. That is the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. And in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says, look, I have a Kal v'chomer. And not only that, but he also says, I have a tradition as well. To which the Gemara says, my tshuva. Now, we are on Ein Zayin Amud Beis, and we are now going over the following. In the Mishnah, so we heard the Chachamim say to Rabbi Yochanan that the Kal v'chomer is not good. Let's quickly review the Kal v'chomer. The Kal v'chomer is very simple. Rabbi Shimon says that when it comes to Amoni Moavis, where the Isser for the men is an Isser in perpetuity, meaning that the generations 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ad infinitum are in fact going to be Usser for the male converts of Amon and Moav, and yet the female Muteris immediately. So it goes without saying that when it comes to Mitzri, where it's a limited Isser of only three generations, so for sure the female should be Muteris immediately. That was the Kal v'chomer Rabbi Shimon. And to that, the Chachamim said back to Rabbi Shimon, we don't like the Kal v'chomer. The Kal v'chomer, if you're basing your entire position on an argument, we can argue with the logic of the argument. So that's all we got in the Mishnah. We didn't get exactly how you're going to counter the argument of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon seems to be making what seems to be a relatively good Kal v'chomer. So my tshuva. So that's exactly what the Gemara wants to know. What exactly would the argument be presented against the Shita of Rabbi Shimon? Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Deikla Meimar Arayis Yochichu. Shalo Asur Bahem Ela Ad Shlosha Doros Echad Zachar Vechad Nekevos. So let's take a look at the Parsha of Arayis. So the Parsha of Arayis, all the prohibitions that are mentioned in Achri, Mos, and in Kedoshim, so they go maximum three generations, right? We discussed this at length. In terms of the establishment of who are the Arayos, we did this earlier in our Masechta on Daf Chaf Aleph. So there, Min HaTorah. Now there are Shnios, admittedly, but Min HaTorah, they do not extend more than three generations. Now, as we already learned, Arayos apply both to male and female. So you see that Arayos is limited in generations, and yet it applies to male and female. So Mala Arayos Shekein Karis. So the Gemara says, okay, that's true, but when it comes to Arayos, so there's a serious punishment that comes together with Arayos, which of course is Karis. And we're not discussing Karis penalties over here. We're talking about Lavim in the Torah, but they're not Isuri Karis. So how can that serve as a Pircha? That can't really challenge Kal v'chomer. The Gemara says, yeah, but Mamzer Yochiach. So the Gemara says, yeah, but let's take a look at Mamzer, which we already established does not differentiate between men and women. So Mala Mamzer, Shekein Enu Rai Lava Bekal. So the Gemara says, yeah, but how can Mamzer be part of our discussion? Mamzer never has a heter to enter into the Kal, can't marry within the Kal. So La Olam Arayis Yochiach V'chazor Din La Rizek Rizeh V'la Rizek Rizeh. So the Gemara says, you're right. Arayis by itself doesn't stand to burst the Kal v'chomer. Neither does Mamzer. But what we're going to do, like we classically do, is we're going to put the two of them together, look at the common denominator. So the common denominator is that they're going to be prohibited, both men and women. So and so we can say the same thing regarding Mitzri, that the prohibition, at least for those first two generations, are going to be for both men and women. So the Gemara says, even then, as I look at the common denominator between the two of them, there is a tzad karis. Now, what does that mean? So again, by arayos, so we already know, the punishment for violating any one of the arayos is a punishment of karis. Even by mamzer, as we already talked about numerous times, to marry a mamzer is not an isser karis, but to create a mamzer, of course, requires an isser karis. That's what the Gemara means. There, at least there's a tzad karis as it relates to the production of a mamzer. So, even as I'm looking at the common denominator, so there is a tzad karis. We're discussing the isser of a mitzri lavo bekal. That in of itself is only a lav. There's no aspect of kares whatsoever connected to it. So once again, the Gemara is challenging, how does this pircha work? V'rabanan, so as far as the Chachamim are concerned, me chalal dechave aseicha Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. No, because the Chachamim will note that in terms of a chalal mechayvi ase, as Rashi explains over here, let's say you have a Kohen Gadol marrying a woman who had relations previously. She wasn't married previously. She's not a grusha. She's not an almana. In other words, Rashi gives the example. Let's say she was violated. So then that means to say she's not a basula. Now, Kohen Gadol marries such a woman who is not a basula. The product of that union is going to be a chalal. So what do you see over here? And it doesn't matter whether the product is going to be a male or a female. Nevertheless, the product is going to be a chalal. So we're not talking about a Isser Karis. We're not even talking about a lav. At most, we're talking about just simply an asay, and yet the product of that union is going to be a chalal. And Rashi goes into even more detail, meaning that can't you make the argument that the product of that union is going to be a zona, and that is a lav? But Rashi says, but that's not the case, because that is a shita, but we don't subscribe to that shita. Anyway, see Rashi for more details over here. The point of all this is that we can even look at a Kohen Gadol to a non-besula, which is an isser asay, and yet there's no distinction, no differentiation between the male and the female. Umay loki. Now, finally, what the Gemara just simply articulated, admittedly, it's not easy, but the Gemara just articulated what the Chachamim's challenge to Rabbi Shimon's Kavachomer is. Good. Now, what Rabbi Shimon says is low-key, meaning, if you go back to the Mishnah, look at the exchange between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. So the Chachamim said to Rabbi Shimon, is that all you got? You have a Kavachomer? So, Rabbi Shimon responded, im halacha nekaba v'im ladin yeshuva amar lahem low-key halacha ani omer. So he says, no. In other words, low key. Not only do I have a kavachomer, but on top of that, I also have a tradition. And now the Gemara is just going over that last exchange in the Mishnah. My low key, hachi kamer luhu. This is what Rabbi Shimon said back to the Chachamim. Lidi di lo sfari lidi Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. I don't subscribe to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, meaning the halal cannot be part of the equation and it can't be part of the challenge to my kavachomer because I don't subscribe to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But lidit chudisir luchu k'Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov halacha ani omer. But I acknowledge the fact that you subscribe to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and therefore you have mounted a good pircha against my kavachomer. But even to your pircha, I'll simply tell you that it's Kabbalah. Meaning I have it also as part of a tradition, and my position is not solely based on a kavachomer. Okay, where are we right now in the Gemara? So geographically, we're on Ein Zayin Amud Beis, we're towards the bottom of the Amud, and what we have so far done is try to broadcast exactly what the kavachomer of Rabbi Shimon is, that the Mishnah already did, what the pircha of the Chachamim is to the kavachomer. The Mishnah didn't do that, we just did that together in the Gemara, and the counter pircha that was intimated in the Mishnah by Rabbi Shimon back to the Chachamim. Again, that was not articulated in the Mishnah. The Gemara just did that as well. And Rabbi Shimon's final words of, and on top of that, Kabbalah. I have it as a tradition. Okay, so where are we right now? A machlokas in the Mishnah. And we just went through a little bit more explanation here in the Gemara in terms of a Ger Mitzri. The Chachamim are of the position, this is in fact the accepted halacha, that when you have a Ger Mitzri, so for generations 1 and 2, they are going to be Asur Lavo Bekal, generation 3, Muteres. Muter and Muteres Lavo Bekal, and there's no discrimination, no distinction to be made between male and female. Mashenken, according to Rabbi Shimon, no. The Isser is only on the males, not on the females, much like Moav and Ammon, where the Isser is only on the males, not on the females. Tanya. Towards the bottom of Ein Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Amar Lahem Rabbi Shimon Halacha Ani Omer Va'od Mikra Misayeni, Banim Velo Banos. So here in the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon says, look, it's Halacha, meaning I have it as a tradition, and on top of that, look at the Pasuk, it says Banim Velo Banos. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes another Braisa. Banim Velo Banos, Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Here in this Braisa, again, the position of Rabbi Shimon clearly articulated, men, only the boys, not the girls. And Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hare Omer, Banim Ashir Yevadu Lahem, Dershusha Kasav Talam Eleida. Rabbi Yehuda counters and says, what do you mean? How could it possibly be? Banim Ashir Yevadu Lahem. So all the children that are going to be born to them, Hakasav Talam Eleida, meaning everything over here is a function of birth, with no distinction to be made in terms of what's coming out, meaning whether it's male or female. So this is Rabbi Yehuda counter-arguing the diuk of Rabbi Shimon, where Rabbi Shimon says, the Pasuk says, Banim, And meanwhile, the Rav Yehuda says, no, Leida. It's all a function of birth. I'm Rav Yochanan, he loved Amar Rav Yehuda, Kasav Talam Beleida, Lamasi Adavar Agla Beves Medrash. So Rav Yochanan just simply makes a comment on the sheet of Rav Yehuda, which is that it's important that everything is going to be a function of Leida, because if it's not going to be a function of Leida, we're going to get stuck. Rav Yehuda is going to get stuck. Why? Kevin Amar Mar Kal Gerim Ikre Kal. Because Rav Yehuda is of the position that Kal Gerim Ikre Kal, meaning that anyone who converts has the legal status of being considered Kal. So Mitzri Sheni B'mai Yitaher. Now, Mitzri Sheni is going to get stuck, meaning that second generation Mitzri. So who can that second generation Mitzri marry? Meaning within the sheet of Rav Yehuda of Kal Gerim Ikre Kal, so that means to say that second generation Mitzri is going to have the status of being Kahal. Now here's the problem. Who can he marry? He won't be able to marry anybody. As Rashi over here points out, on the very bottom of the previous Amud, B'Maseches Kedushin, Yisa Dinakeva Sharin La'alter, Havelu Kal, the Asuros, Mitzris Rishona Vishnia, the Mitzri Rishon Visheni. So if, in fact, you subscribe to the viewpoint that the women are going to be Muteris immediately, like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, so then Rabbi Yehuda is going to be left in a bind in that now this second generation Mitzri won't be able to marry anybody. B'Mayitar. So Dilma di'i avar v'nasif. So the Gemara says, well, as we're on the top of Ayin Chesem and Aleph, maybe it's true that within the sheet of Rav Yehuda, remember, this whole discussion we're having right now is within the sheet of Rav Yehuda. So within the sheet of Rav Yehuda, so the Mitzri Shinis cannot marry anybody lawfully, but maybe they married unlawfully. So the Gemara says, v'nasif, di'i lo kasi kras. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The Torah is going to be talking about third generation, but that only is going to be achieved through unlawful marriage? That can't possibly be. Hare mamzer di'iu kasvekar. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Unlawful marriage? Plenty of that in the Torah. What about a mamzer? So di'i li suri kasvekar. So the Gemara says, no. But when it comes to a mamzer, we're talking about the prohibition. Here we're talking about a non-prohibition, meaning to arrive at the third generation Egyptian. So it's just the assumption of the Gemara is that that could be achieved through any non-isser. So di'i le'etera lo kasev. Hare mafi rusha, so di'i le'etera v'kasev. So the Gemara says, what about the di'i of a machzik grusha? So we're there. The Torah says that you should not take back the woman that you divorced. Again, you married a woman, divorced her. She then subsequently married another man, divorced him. You can't take her back. That's machzir grusha so mishinises. And yet the Torah over there tells us that if you have a child with her, so the child is going to be muteris. Rashi quotes the drasha. Ki toeva he toeva v'ein baneha toavim. So over there, in order to arrive at the children, you have to violate the iser. So the Gemara says, yeah, but hasam isham ikar isur hu dekasve. The Gemara says, yeah, but over there, we're talking about the ikar iser, meaning the only reason why the Torah introduced us to machzir grushaso is because of the main iser, meaning the woman herself. It's true, the Torah then talks about what is going to be the status of their children, but only as a totzal, only as the collateral damage, if you will, of violating the Isser. But that's not the focus of the Torah. As it relates to Mitzri, however, the focus of the Torah is that a second generation, first generation, second generation are prohibited, third generation is going to be mutter, and according to Rav Yehuda, how do you ever get to that point without violating an Isser? So the Gemara says, good. So that's why it's good for Rav Yehuda that he has a drasha of Leda. Otherwise, he would be stuck. Ein Chesmen Aleph, a couple lines down, five lines down from the top of the Amatan Rabbanan. Im Nemar Banim, Lama Nemar Doros, Vim Nemar Doros, Lama Nemar Banim. This price over here is just noting that when the Torah describes the third generation Mitzri, so it uses two terms. It uses Banim, and it also uses Doros, and why the need for both. So the Gemara goes on to explain. Im nemar banim v'lo nemar daros. Had it only said banim, ha'isi omer ben rishon v'sheni aser shlishi mutar lekach nemar daros. If the Torah only said the word banim, we would have had a really funny havamina, which is that let's say you have a couple who converted from Mitzrayim. I would have thought had the Torah not said the word daros, their first child prohibited, their second child prohibited, their third child permitted. I admit, that's a strange havamina, but that's if the Torah would have just said the word banim. Vim nemar doros v'lo nemar banim. Let's go in the other direction. Let's say the Torah just used the word doros without banim. Ha'isi omer lo'osan ha'om demal ar Sinai. I would have thought that the doros starts counting at Marmad ar Sinai, meaning from that point, then three generations later, from that point, they're going to be prohibited. But in other words, from that point going forward, they're going to be permitted. And then historically, at any point post third generation, post Yitzias Mitzrayim, so there's not going to be any Yisr whatsoever. L'kach nemar banim. So that's why the Torah says the word banim. Banim zir to teach me that the Yisr is on every converted couple of Mitzrim. For them, it's going to be that generation, their first, meaning their generation number one. Next generation, their children, they're going to be prohibited lava bakal. Third generation is going to be mutter. Lahem mehemana lahem halachacha psulim. So lahem, you count from them, mehemana lahem halachacha psulim, you go after the psul. Okay, v'itzrich lemechtav lahem, v'itzrich lemechtav asher yevaldu. And the Gemara now points out that lahem is necessary, asher yevaldu is necessary. Dikas rechman asher yevaldu. Had the Torah only said, asher yevaldu hava mi b'nei emana, you only start counting from their children. Meaning their children counts as generation number one. So kasav rechman lahem, so that's why the Torah has to say the word lahem, meaning that who is generation number one? The converted couple themselves. V'kasav rechman lahem, had it said lahem hava mi mitzris mu bereshin esgari hiu v'nachat. I would have thought that a mitzris who converted pregnant, so she and her and her son are considered one. So kasav rechman ashir v'aldu. That's why the Torah says ashir v'aldu, to tell me that no, that even if she converted as a pregnant woman, her daughter or son is going to be counted as generation number two. V'itzrich lemichtav lahem hacha, v'itzrich lemichtav lo gabi mamzer. Lahem is necessary by mitzri, lo is necessary by mamzer. Dikas rechman hacha misham debamiti papsula. When it comes to a mitzris, so that comes miti papsula, meaning that the seed from both the male and the female are of a tainted lineage regarding ishus. About mamzer, about miti pakshera. When it comes to mamzer, the tipa is a tipa kshera. The seed that's used to germinate the mamzer is a tipa kshera. Now I know that sounds funny, but if you think about it, meaning before the interaction of the two seeds together, in other words, if you look at each one independently, so in other words, dad was a kasher, mom was a ksheira. And yes, it's true. In other words, they got involved in an absolute iser of the Torah. And yes, and the combination, the interaction of the two is going to produce a mamzer. That part's true. But independently, it's a tipa ksheira. So I would have thought maybe not. When it comes to mamzer, they're never allowed to enter into the kal, meaning that is in perpetuity. But over here by the mitzri, it's not the case. So that's why the word lo is necessary by a mamzer, the word lahem is necessary by a mitzri. Okay. A lot of discussion within the Gemara regarding the establishment of which of the Mitzrim are allowed to be are allowed to enter into the congregation, but when all said and done, as far as all the Gemaras are concerned, to distill the halacha is extraordinarily clear, and that is that when you have a couple converting from Mitzrayim, again, I say Mitzrayim, I mean Mitzrayim classic. So when you have converts converting from Mitzrayim, so again, as converts, fully converted with the full status of being a Jew, but in terms of Ishus, in terms of who they can marry, so also Lava Bakal, they can't marry within the congregation, meaning they're going to have to marry within one another. Then what we also learned together is that Isser of Ishus is going to be for that generation, for the next generation, meaning their kids cannot be marrying Jews, they can't be marrying any member of Kahal, they can only marry within one another, but then the third generation is in fact allowed to marry Bekal. Okay, and as we already established, even though it's a machlokus in the Mishnah, but the halacha here also is very clear, and that it applies to both male and female for generations one and two. Good, that's the halacha, that's where we're at in the Gemara right now, and now the Gemara is going to be dealing with a really simple issue, and this is really what we're going to finish up with today. We're going to get to today the Mishnah on the top of Ayin Chesem and Beis, and tomorrow we'll start fresh with the topic of Mamzeris. Anyway, Amar Rabba Bar Chanan, Amar Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara now is going to be quoting two versions of Rav Yochanan. Rabba Bar Chanan, which we're about to see, Rav Dimi's version, which is coming up about a dozen lines from now. But the two versions of Rav Yochanan is going to be litigating the following case, the following question. It's really simple. How do you achieve generation number three? Meaning, here's where it's easy. If, let's say, you had a couple of Mitzrim who converted their generation number one, their children are generation number two. So let's say you had a number of families like that. So then what you can have is members of generation two getting married to one another of these various families, these various converted families, and then the next generation is going to be generation number three. That's easy, meaning that part's straightforward. But here comes the complication, and this is what we're going to be discussing for the remainder of today's daf. Let's say I have, of these converted Mitzrim, let's say I have a generation one with a generation two, and they produce a child. So now the question is really simple. That child now is going to be regarded as either generation two, meaning following generation one, or generation three, following generation two. And then, on top of that, just to complicate things a little bit, the Gemara is going to be discussing and litigating whether or not it's going to make a difference who's generation one and who's generation two. Is it going to matter whether the father's generation one or the mother's generation number one? All this to be discussed in our Gemara, so we start off with the first version of Rav Yochanan. Amar Rabba Barachan, Amar Rav Yochanan Mitzri, Sheni Shanasa Mitzri Roshona. So if I have a Mitzri Sheni, meaning dad is generation number two, mom is generation number one, Bina Shlishi Havai. So as far as now their child, so how do you count their child? Their child is counted as third generation, meaning, and their child now is Mutter Lavo Bekal. And it won't make a difference whether the child is male or female. Amakasavar Basidide Shadinale. So within this first version of Rav Yochanan, it's clear, it's obvious that Basidide Shadinale, meaning whatever the status of the child is going to be following the father. So Mesav Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef challenges based on the following brace. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Yecholim Mamzer Mlitar. So it's possible for Mamzer to become Tahor, as we're going to be discussing, later in Masechta Kedushin. So Ketza Mamzer Nasa Shevcha Avlad Eved Shachru Nimsa Ben Chorin. What a Mamzer could do is a Mamzer can marry a Shevcha. The child is going to be an Eved, because as we already established numerous times, when it comes to a Shevcha, there is no Yichus by a Shevcha. So that means to say that the child is going to be considered an Eved. And now what you could do is you could free the Eved, and the Eved now is going to be a Ben Chorin with no Mamzer status. Again, all this we're going to be discussing in much greater detail in Kedushin. But meanwhile, Alma Basar Dida Shadinale. So the Gemara says, okay, but in terms of status is concerned, status is following the mom, not the father. And over here, in this first version of Rav Yochanan, status is following the father, not the mother. So Shani Hasam Dama Krai, Shavi Yada, Tiela Dana. So the Gemara says, no, you can't introduce Eved into this discussion when it comes to Eved. So we know that by Eved, the Eved status does not follow the father whatsoever. It's a pasuk in the Torah, but that is not relevant. It's not germane to our discussion over here. Mesav Rav Rava challenges once again with another brisa, and that is Amar Rav Yehuda min Yamin Ger Mitzri Hayalo Hayali Chaver Mitamidi Rabbi Kiva. So I had Min Yamin. That's his name. So he was an Egyptian convert, and he was Mitamidi Rabbi Kiva. He was a student of Rabbi Kiva. Parenthetically, by the way, that makes for a really interesting point. In that, what I tried to posit yesterday, I think I even posited today as well, and that is that there are no classic Mitzrim because of the mixing up of all the nationalities. Meanwhile, we're talking about a student of Rabbi Kiva. This is now at the end of Bais Sheni. Okay, so I know historically this serves as a challenge, but I'm gonna blow by that point right now, and we're just focusing on the following. His statement. V'amar, ani mitzri rishon, v'nisesi mitzri rishonim. So he says, look, I'm a first-generation convert, Egyptian. I married a first-generation. So asi livni mitzri shniya, kidei shiyehe ben b'ni ra'i lavo bekal. So when I'm looking now for a shidduch for my son, I'm going to make sure that he marries a second-generation Egyptian convert woman, and that way my enoklech, my grandchildren, can be muteris or mutter lavo bekal. Good. So this is the statement of Minyamin, as recorded by Rabbi Yehuda. Good. Now, so now the question is obvious, meaning according to Rav Yochanan, within this first version that we're in right now, so according to the sheet of Rav Yochanan, so you don't, the as far as making a shidduch for a son is concerned, she doesn't have to be second generation. She could be first generation because, again, we're following dad. Dad is the second generation. Regardless of whether mom is first or second generation, the child is going to be third generation. So the Gemara says, Hamar Rav Yochanan Latana Tini Rishona. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when Rav Yochanan heard the Braisa, so Rav Yochanan immediately went into edit mode. Right, second time today we see Rav Yochanan being dismissive of various braises that were presented to him, meaning, let's assume, he accepted most of the braises that were presented to him, but the braises that served as potential problems seemed to be corrupted. So here as well, Rav Yochanan, when he heard the braise, he said, look, the braise is corrupted, slightly corrupted. It needs a little bit of editing over here. When Minyamin says that he's looking for a shidduch for his son, he doesn't need her to be a second-generation Mitzri. It would be suffice if she was a first-generation Mitzri, because again, we're following dad, we're not following mom. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the first viewpoint of Rav Yochanan. Within the first viewpoint of Rav Yochanan, we're always going to be following the father. If the father is second generation, even if he married a first generation Egyptian convert, the child is going to be generation number three. Here we go. Sorry. Second version of Rav Yochanan. Ki asa Rav Dimi am Rav Yochanan. Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael and he quotes the following in the name of Rav Yochanan, and that is Mitzri Sheni Shanasa Mitzri Rishona Bina Sheni Havai. Ah, if dad is a second generation and mom is a first generation, so then the child is going to be second generation, meaning we follow the mother. Now it's interesting over here because in this second version, we clearly see over here that Rav Yochanan is following mom and not the dad. But the case over here is a case of chumra. Would he also say that we're going to be following the mom as far as the kula is concerned? Meaning, let's say mom is second generation and dad is first generation. Is he prepared now to say that we're going to, the child would be third generation? Now, it would seem like the answer to that would be yes, although the Gemara does not discuss that straight out, and it's a point of dispute amongst the Rishonim. But anyway, let's just learn the Gemara as we have it. So if I have a second generation with a woman who is a first generation, the child is second generation. So Amar Basu Yimesha Dinle, so therefore we follow the mother. We see now, so obviously this second version of Rav Yochanan is diametrically opposed to the first version of Rav Yochanan. Within the first version of Rav Yochanan, we were following dad. Here in the second version, we're following mom. So Amar Le'abayle Had Amar Rav Yochanan, so the Gemara says, fine. So we're going to be following mom. So the Gemara now is going to ask a question. This question is going to sound a little bit funny, but let me just quickly go over the underlying assumption within the Gemara. Why is it that we're following mom? So we have a general principle throughout Shas of what's called Uber Yerich Imo or Uber Lav Yerich Imo. The question is a really fundamental question, and that is that when you have a fetus growing within inside a woman, and obviously I'm not creating equivalency over here, but inside of an animal as well. So is that fetus considered part and parcel of the mother? Meaning, is the fetus an appendage of the mother? And whatever the status of the mother is, that fetus is going to have that same status. That's uber yerech imo. Or do we say uber lav yerech imo? Do we look at the fetus independent of the mother, even as the fetus is growing inside the mother? This is not at all any kind of referendum on whether you can or cannot abort. That's a totally separate issue. This is just a question of how to view the status of the fetus. So, with that stated, in the second version of Rav Yochanan, where he says that we follow the mother, so it certainly sounds like what we're focusing on over here is that the fetus is considered yerech imo, meaning part and parcel of the mother, and that's why we follow the mom. Meaning if mom is first generation, the fetus is going to be second generation as a predicate of uber yerech imo. And for that, the Gemara now asks the following question. The Gemara wants to know, Hifresh Chatas Mu'uberes V'yalda, if in fact you have a Chatas Mu'uberes, a carbon Chatas that is pregnant and gives birth, Rasam Eskaper Ba, Rasam Eskaper Bevlada. And so what you could do is you can achieve Kapara either through the mother or through the offspring. So it's good if you say that uber lav yerchimohu. So that is that would be you are being mafresh to carbon chatasis leachrayos. Meaning, here's what we know. Okay, this requires a little bit of explanation, but things that we've gone over numerous times in the past, and that is that when you have a carbon chatas, so vlad chatas is holech lamisa. Five different chataos, which are holech lamisa, halach lamoshim Sinai. One of them is a vlad chatas. So vlad chatas is holech lamisa. However, if let's say I'm responsible to bring a carbon chatas, and I'm just a nervous person, and I want to buy an insurance policy, so what can I do? What I can do is, from the get-go, separate two carbon chatas and say, look, I know I only need one of the two. One of them is serving as my insurance policy. So under those circumstances, the second one is not viewed as a vlad chatas, but simply an insurance policy. So if I separate a carbon chatas that I know is pregnant, and I subscribe to the viewpoint of uber lav yerech imo, so this could be viewed as just simply me separating two separate animals, one of them simply being an insurance policy. And that's why I can either achieve my kapara through the mother or through the fetus. V'am Rav Oshia. But if I subscribe to the position of uber yerech imo, so now we're going to get stuck. Because uber yerech imo tells me that the fetus is considered part and parcel of the mother. So the only way now to view this carbon chatas that was pregnant is that the fetus is considered vlad chatas, and vlad chatas holdech lemisa, u vlad chatas lemisa. So also, and now what comes out is the following. We're going to get a little bit stuck, because within this chatas paradigm, we just discovered that an uber is lav yerech imo. Certainly that's what comes out from the chatas. Now that means to say that how does that fit in with our discussion over here? Meaning, how could we possibly entertain that when I have a Mitzri couple getting married together, we're following the mother, that would seem like we're subscribing to the viewpoint of Uber Yerich Imo. So Ishtik. So at first when presented the problem, he didn't know how to answer. Amalei Dilma Shani Hasam, Dechsiv Asher Yevaldu, Akasav Talam Beleida. So he says, Asher Yevaldu. Ah, the answer is Asher Yevaldu. Meaning, in general, we can entertain the idea that Uber Lav Yerich Imo, but in terms of assigning status for Mitzri, in terms of generations 1, 2, 3, so it's all going to follow the mother. Why? The Torah is making everything contingent on Leida. And when he hears this answer, he says, Karkafna, meaning that's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. What a great response to that question. So now what comes out is the following, that generally speaking, we're going to say that Ubar Lav Yerechimo, that the fetus is not considered part and parcel of the mother. They are two independent entities, one another, halachically. And as far as Mitzri is concerned, we could still entertain that we're going to be following the mother, but that's because of the pasuk of Asher Yevaldu. But without Asher Yevaldu, what comes out now is that assigning status to the fetus, so we're going to go more in line with the father than we are with the mother. So the Gemara says, if that's in fact the case, I have a very simple question. So let's say I have a woman who's pregnant and she converts while pregnant. So as far as her child is concerned, Ein Sarech Tvila, there's no need for the child to Tova once the child is born. So Amai Ein Sarech Tvila. So why is it that the child doesn't need Tvila? Meaning, within the position of Uber Yerech Imo, so we totally understand, meaning what's the child, what's the fetus inside? Simply an appendage to the mother. As an appendage to the mother, so when the mother goes and tovels in the mikvah, every appendage is going to be toveled. But if we are taking the position, where it certainly sounds like we're taking that Uber Lav Yerech Imo, so then that means that the fetus is a separate entity, but the fetus is a separate entity, right now cocooned and sheltered from the mikvah. Meaning the child, the fetus did not experience the mikvah. So how does that work? And meanwhile, we accept as an accepted position that once the fetus is born, the baby doesn't need to go to the mikvah. Before we get to the next point on the top of the next amud, the Gemara now wants to at least suggest, at least entertain for a moment that, well, you know, in terms of what's going to be a chatzitza, what's going to be a barrier, so you need two things. It needs to be rova, needs to be the majority, that is going to be shielded against the water, and also you have to be makpid. It's something that bothers you. You don't want it there. Okay, and this is a lengthier discussion, which we're not going to have right now, but anyway, min ha-Torah, what's a chatzitza? Rova and makpid. And what the Gemara at least is suggesting for a moment is that the fetus inside is not qualified as rova makpid. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's ridiculous. And in the top of the Amud, top of Ein Ches Amud Beis, V'hamar Rav Kahana Loshanu Ala Rubo, Avakula Chotzeitz. Yeah, if we're talking about Rov, I understand. But over here, we're talking about the entire fetus, which is within the mother. So this, of course, is a Chatzitza. So let's formulate the question once again. The question is very simple. We are right now assuming that Uber Lavi Archimo, that the fetus and the mother are considered halachically two separate entities. We just learned together that if the mother elects to convert while pregnant, so then when the baby is born, the baby doesn't need a tefillah. Well, how do those two concepts work together, one with the other? Meaning, while the fetus inside is this separate entity, and also sheltered from the water, meaning having not experienced a tefillah, so how could that possibly work? To which the Gemara says, okay, Shani Uber Dahainu Rabise. So the Gemara gives a fundamental answer. And that is that when it comes to the Ubar, that is the way that it grows, meaning this is natural, this is normal. And therefore, Lav Chatzitza is simply not going to be a Chatzitza. So that means to say that when you tovel the mikvah, so the parts to you that are quote-unquote natural don't need to concern itself with being sheltered from the mikvah. Give a simple example. In other words, when you tov in the mikvah, so anything interior within your body doesn't need to make contact with the water. Why? Because obviously, only the surface area of your body need to come into contact with the water. Since the fetus growing inside the mother is considered a natural part of the mother, even though halachically it's a separate entity, but it's a natural part of the mother, it too is experiencing the tefillah, even though it didn't actually make contact with the water itself. And we end off today with a couple of very basic rules in terms of assigning statuses to children. Ki as Ravina Rav Yochanan Umas Halach Achar Zacher Niskaru Halach Achar Pagum Shebishneim. Two basic rules when it comes to nationalities and intermarriage amongst the nationalities, meaning not Jews, not converts. The male is going to determine the child's nationality, to be explained in just a moment. However, after Gerus, and now you have Gerim getting married to one another, so we're going to be following the more pugum, the one that is going to present more issues. Again, we're going to explain that too. Number one, Bumas halacha achar zacher kid detayin v'lentan b'risa min halachad min ha'uma sheba ala kanan is v'holid ben she'atar rashar l'knoso. So let's say you have any member of any other nationality coming into Canaan marrying a Canaanite woman. So as far as the child is concerned, the child is not a Canaanite. Therefore, you're allowed to purchase him as an eved. L'knoso ben eved she'nemer v'gam b'mnei ha'toshavim ha'garim imachem mehem tiknu. So you're allowed to purchase them. Rashi over here goes over the generally accepted customs and cultures of generally speaking, as far as who travels to marry who. So it's the derech isha lios bim koma. The woman usually stays in her natural location. It's the men who comes over and moves into the location of the woman. Okay, anyway, the pasuk's talking about where the man is traveling. He's coming from outside Eretz Yisrael. So the Torah is describing a relationship where dad is min ha'uma sa'ola, meaning it's from another nationality, and he married a Canaanite woman. Child is not a Canaanite. However, yachalafi lecha min ha'kananim sheba'ala al-achas min ha'umas v'holi ben shatara shalikno'sa be'evet ha'malam asher holidu ba'artzechem min ha'nodim ba'artzechem v'lo min ha'garim ba'artzechem. On the other hand, if we were to invert that, if the mom was from the umas ha'olam and dad was a Canaanite, the child's a Canaanite. And therefore, you can't purchase them as an eved. Okay, nizgayru. Okay, so that is point number one of Rav Yochanan. That when you have dual nationalities, meaning dad's from one nation and mom's from another nation, so how is the child going to be regarded after dad? Next, nizgayru halachar pagum shebishneim b'mai. So once they convert, we're going to be following pogum. An example would be the following: my pogum shibish name is be amoni v'lo amonis. So if we're talking about an amitzri marrying an amonis, so we know that there's no pagam mother, meaning the mother is totally muteris. So ela ba amoni shenas amitzri. So the example over here would be where the amoni married a mitzris. Ah, izachar haveshadja basa amoni yinakeva haveshadja basa mitzris. So there. So now we understand what does it mean following pagum shibam, following the one that's going to present more problems, because dad is an Ammoni convert, mom is a mitzvah convert. So if they have a son, so to give the son now the Ammoni status is going to be more problematic, because Ammoni is in perpetuity. If on the other hand they have a daughter, so then the daughter is going to get mitzvah status, because if the daughter got Ammoni status, so well, the Ammoni status would make her permitted immediately. Adkan, that takes us to the end. To the Mishnah. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the Mishnah. Let's quickly recap. Let's review our daf today. Number one, Rav Yochanan said that if I have a ger mitzri marrying a bas Yisrael, and they have a child, even though despite the fact that an amoni marrying a bas Yisrael and they have a child, despite the fact that that union was a prohibited union, that child is muter sava bekal. Furthermore, says Rav Yochanan, the child is allowed to marry even a kohen as well. Generally speaking, children of prohibited unions are not allowed to marry Kohanim, but this is the notable exception. He has a drasha that arrives at this conclusion. That was discussion number one. Admittedly, that was a challenging discussion. It's just hard to read within the Gemara. But anyway, that was discussion number one, and the Gemara had three different versions of Rav Yochanan in articulating that point. Then, on Ein Zayin Amud Beis, halfway down the Amud, we went through the Kal V'chomer of Rabbi Shimon, the Pircha of the Kal V'chomer, and Rabbi Shimon's response to the Pircha. All that was clearly articulated on Ein Zayin Amud Beis, taking us to the bottom of the Amud. Then the Gemara noted on the top of Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, that there are words in the Psukim by the Mitzri seemingly superfluous. The Gemara says they're not, and the Gemara explained the need for all those extra words. Then on Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, halfway down in the Amud, we went on to discuss what happens in terms of arriving at a third generation. And let's say you have Mitzri Gerim who marry, where it's, if it's generation one's getting married, so their children obviously generation two. If it's generation two children getting married, obviously from different families, so then the next generation would be generation number three. That's easy. What's harder, and what we litigated today, and Rav Yochanan, two different versions of the discussion, is that what if dad is generation two and mom is generation number one? What if dad is generation one and mom is generation number two? Who do we follow vis-a-vis establishing the status of that child? Is the child going to be following mom or is the child going to be following dad? In the second version of Rav Yochanan, which is the accepted viewpoint, so we're going to be following mom. Mom is going to be the determinant of what the status of that child is. If mom is generation number one, the child is going to be generation number two. As I pointed out when we did the daf today, it stands to reason, therefore, that if mom is generation number two, child should be generation number three, regardless of what dad is. Although the Gemara did not say that clearly, explicitly. Okay. But again, just in terms of a takeaway point from today's daf, if mom is generation number one, the child is going to be generation number two. What the Gemara thought now is that maybe this is going to be a referendum on whether or not we say uber yerachimo, uber lav yerachimo. The Gemara says no, that could stay out of the discussion. We could maintain the position of uber lav yerachimo, that the fetus is not considered part and parcel of the mother, but assigning status of Mitzri, so we could be following the mother because of the pasuk of Asher Yivaldu. And then the Gemara, as a bonus, the Gemara said, okay, if we subscribe to uber lav yerachimo, how does the tefillah work? Meaning a woman converts while pregnant, and we know the tefillah works for her and for the fetus. How does it work for the fetus? Isn't it a chatzisa? Especially if I hold uber lav yerachimo. And the Gemara's answer is hanu revise. Admittedly, that answer requires much more clarification. I just skimmed the answer of the Gemara, but that's the natural way in which the fetus grows, even if I hold uber lav yerachimo. And the last point that we discussed today on Ayin Ches Amud Beis is what happens when nationalities get mixed together in a marriage. So who do we follow when it comes to umos ha'olam? We always follow dad. When it comes to gerim, so we're going to be following either mom or dad, whichever serves as a larger pagam for the child.